Exodus 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together now in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come to this sacred time of hearing your word read and preached, we pray that you would teach us and that I would teach and exhort these things. And so we pray that your word would be rightly open and rightly applied, and that your sheep that Christ has purchased with his blood would desire to hear the truth and walk in it. Help us all be doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We had three sermons on the doctrine of the fourth commandment, or the doctrine of the Sabbath. And now we move on to the fifth commandment, the fifth word, which is about honoring father and mother. And so my desire is to spend two sermons on this commandment today, spending time on children's duty to parents, and then next Sabbath day, God willing, parents' duty to children. So that's what I plan to do. Children's duty to parents, and then parents' duty to children. But this afternoon, I plan to focus on the reality of children and their duty, their obligation to their parents. And so that will be the main focus. And not just young children who are in the home, who have a unique responsibility to their parents, but even all of us, no matter what age we are commanded to honor our father and our mother. And so thinking about that, regardless of the age, how that principle applies. And so the main point of this sermon is children, young or old, are to honor their parents, which results in a blessing from God. Children, young or old, are to honor their parents, which results in a blessing from God. My first point, children, young or old, are to honor their parents. And my second point, blessing from God. So again, children, young or old, are to honor their parents. This commandment, rightly understood, applies more than just to parents. Rightly understood, this is a general principle that we are to obey and honor all lawful authority, whether in the home, in the church, or in the states. We are always to honor God-given authority. And so that this is a general principle. But obviously, the first authority that a child coming into this world is going to have to learn to honor and obey and respect is their father and mother. And so if they learn rightly how to obey the God-given authority of mom and dad, it'll be easier for them to obey the authority outside the home because they've learned to obey that near and dear authority of their father and their mother. So these principles that I'm going to be preaching on have much broader application than merely a child-to-parent relationship, even though I'm focusing primarily in this sermon on the child-to-parent relationship. But these have application to our civil authorities, to elders, and of course, to parents as well. And so the first authority, again, that a boy and girl will ever experience in life, the first God-given authority that anyone will ever have in their life is the authority, ideally, because we know not all families sadly have a mom and dad, but the ideal is that their first authority that they would know would be their father's authority and their mother's authority. That's the first authority that a child is going to know. And if they are not taught and trained, which will be more of my sermon next week, but if they're not taught and trained to honor that authority, then when they get older, they become completely rebellious. And so children should know that their number one responsibility under God and under repenting and believing the gospel is to honor their father and their mother. And why? Because God is the one who put father and mother over us in the Lord. And so we are commanded by God to honor our parents, our father and our mother. And just in passing, because we live in such a strange day, that parents, biblically speaking, are a mom and a dad. That is the way that God sees parents. It's a mom and it's a dad. It's a father and it's a mother. And it is harmful. This would not get me popular votes on CNN, but I don't care. It is not helpful for children to have a mom and a mom or a dad and a dad. It's not helpful for them. It's sinful because sodomy is condemned by the Bible, and it's not good for them because they need the nurturing care of a mom, which God has ordinarily made the mom to be more nurturing, and they need the disciplinarian and the charging spirit and the encouragement of a father. And so they need both. And there's something that a mom brings that a dad doesn't. And there's something that a dad brings that a mom doesn't. And so we are, God sees parents, rightly understood, as a father and a mother. One father, one mother. And so that's what God's plan is. And honor, to honor our father and our mother, it involves not only doing what they command in the sense of the will, but also the mind and the emotions. Let me show you a text that is very interesting that shows us that love or honor cannot merely be an act of the will. Let me show you this to prove you from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 13. That love and honor requires more than merely an act of the will. So 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I want to particularly focus on verse 3. We see there that this person is, with the act of the will, doing good things. He's feeding the poor. He's giving his body to be burned in sacrificial offering in the sense of possibly for Christ's sake. But it says if he has not love, it profits him nothing. What the text is teaching is someone could do the external right thing but still not have love, and it profits them nothing. So as we think about honoring father and mother or honoring anyone or showing love to them, it is not good enough for us merely to go through the motions and do external right things if our heart does not desire it. That's what the context here is. People are giving stuff to the poor. They're giving their body to be burned, but they have no desire. They're doing it grumbling and complaining. That's what we can take from it. Their heart is not with it. They're honoring with their mouth, but their hearts are far from that true honor. And this text says it profits them nothing. The reason why I'm focusing on this is because I think we've been taught, or we think that love is merely an act of the will, and honor is merely doing the right thing externally, but it's not. It includes more than that. And this is why I do love Vodi Bakum's definition. I think it covers all of it. Love is an act of the will followed by emotions that leads to action on behalf of its object. That's Vodi Bakum's definition. That's very good. Because he doesn't say it's void of emotion. It just doesn't lead with emotion. So it's an act of the will. Honoring, loving is first, I choose to do it. But also, I do it with a heart of gratitude, a heart of genuine care for that person, which leads me to act on behalf of that object. Hopefully this is making sense. We have to understand this principle to understand biblical honor. That honor someone does not merely doing the right thing if we do it with a heart that grumbles and complains. It profits us nothing. If a child does what they're supposed to do, and I'm going to emphasize this more, they do what they're supposed to do, but they do it clicking their tongue and rolling their eyes. They're not loving their parents. They're not honoring. Even if they would say, you know, mom and dad, I'm going to do this for you, but they're doing it with a spirit that grumbles, it profits them nothing. According to this text. Because if they're using these wonderful, like, exaggerated examples to make the point. all knowledge, all faith, give all my goods to the feed the poor. I give my body be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. And so the word of God will teach us that for us to truly honor our parents, whether young or old, involves our mind, our emotions, and our will. And so God wants all three of those faculties that he's given us, our mind, our emotions, and our will, to be involved in honoring God-given authority. We see this brought up in the New Testament as well in the sense of the fifth commandment. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 6. This letter was publicly read to the church, the letter of the Ephesians. Children were involved in public worship. And so that's why children are addressed. They weren't in a separate classroom somewhere hidden off. They were actually with the people of God, and therefore they're addressed. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so we see there the reality that children are addressed. And what are they addressed to do? To obey their parents in the Lord because it's right. And then we see the fifth commandment repeated. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then if you turn over with me to Colossians 3, we see it also mentioned there, the reality of children's duty to their parents. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So we see, it's interesting, that God gives two reasons why children ought to obey their parents, according to these two texts. At least two. One, it's right. Children, obey your parents, the Lord, because it's right. That's the reason why you should do it, because it's the right thing to do. Then we go to Colossians 3, and he gives another reason. Because if you obey your parents in all things, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so he gives those two different reasons. It's right, and it's well-pleasing. Some children need to be encouraged by its rights, and others need to be encouraged that if you do this while trusting in Jesus Christ, it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let me just say this in passing as well. This shows us that the Bible doesn't give us only one reason to obey. The Bible gives us many different reasons to obey God. Because different people need different motivations. You might need the motivation of God's love. Someone else might need the motivation of fearing God. Another person might need to know it's right. Another person might need to know it's their duty. Another person might know because there's a reward for it. There's different motivation that God gives us for why we should obey. For why we should obey. And so outside, beloved, outside of teaching children the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and their need to repent and believe the gospel, there is nothing more important a child can know than that they need to honor their father and their mother. There is nothing, and I'm not exaggerating, nothing more important for them to know outside of repenting and believing the gospel, their relationship with God, that they would be taught what it means to honor their father and mother. And so children are commanded to do this. And even unconvert children are to be commanded to honor their father and mother. Because the law of God is not just for believers, it's for all people. So children, whether they're saved or not, need to be trained and need to know that it is my responsibility to honor my father and my mother. And not only, we see in the fifth commandment, it does not just say, honor your father, and then go on. It says, honor your father and your mother. It's both, because both have authority in the home. We know that the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. But both of them, for their children, both are the authority. Both are the authority, and therefore children are to honor not just their mom or not just their dad, but both, their father and their mother. If you turn with me to Proverbs 1, we see this emphasized in a way of listening to the teaching of both, but Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs 1 and verse 8, Proverbs 1 and verse 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." It's both. We see it's here. It's you should hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. It's both. It's not either or, it's both and. Listen to your father's teaching and listen to the law of your mother. So it's both, father and mother, listening to the instruction of the father and listening to the law of your mother. So what does this look like practically, especially for young children? What does it look like practically to honor father and mother? Well, what it looks like practically is to do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, with a good attitude. If you don't have all three of those things, you don't have biblical honor and obedience. All three have to be there. Again, doing what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, with a good attitude. That is biblical obedience. When, what they tell you, when they tell you, and with a good attitude. Otherwise, you are dishonoring your parents. Because you might do what they tell you to do with a good attitude, but you do it long time after they told you to do it. And that would be dishonor. Or you might do what they tell you to do, but you don't do it with a good attitude. You might do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, but with grumbling and complaining, and therefore you're not honoring them. Or you might do what they tell, or you might do it when they tell you to do it, and with a good attitude, but not what they tell you to do. You make up your own idea in your mind, and that's not honoring either. And so all three of those things, for it to be biblical honor, for children to obey their parents in the Lord, it must be when they tell you, what they tell you, with a good attitude. This is what it looks like for children on it, truly and really to honor their parents. This is what it looks like. Why? Because God doesn't want us, our obedience to our Heavenly Father, our honoring Him, it's not good enough for us to do what He tells us, but grumbling and complaining. God isn't pleased with that. God isn't pleased when we do what we're told, but do it with our eyes rolled, saying, "I don't want to do this, but I'll just do it because I have to." God isn't pleased with that type of obedience. And therefore, earthly parents are not being honored when it's done, but without a good attitude. And so all these three things are important. Otherwise, we are teaching children, or these children are being taught and trained, that they can do external obedience without the hearts. Without the hearts. And that's why I took us to 1 Corinthians 13. We see that the heart must be involved. There must be genuine love. External behavior can be given. But if it does not have love, it profits nothing. It profits nothing. But what a blessing it is when we have kids in our day and age that are obedient to their parents. Kids, look up at me real quick if you're, let's say, 20 or under. This applies to everybody in a different way, but I'm going to address older people later. You obeying and honoring your parents is one of the greatest ways that you can adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ in your day. By simple, good attitude, quick to obey, quick to listen, quick to do it, with a good attitude, is one of the best ways that you can show that your heart has been transformed by the gospel of Christ. As you see kids around you, I'm sure you know kids around you that will not do what their parents want or laugh at what their parents say. When you choose to honor your father and mother, you are a great testimony to the world of the transformed heart that the gospel can bring. And so as we live in a day where children are not honoring their parents, what a beautiful picture it is to see when children are doing what they're told, when they're told, with a good attitude. That is what expected of young children, because the God who made you said it. That's what expected of young children. Older children in different ways, yes, but especially young children. It is God's will for you, and it will never be blotted out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's God's will for you. And there's nothing more important than I, as a pastor, could tell you, as a younger person still in the home of your parents, outside of repenting and believing the gospel, then children, honor your father and your mother. There's nothing more important than that to know outside of repenting and believing the gospel. And so that's what the Word of God commands, that children would do what they're told, when they're told, with a good attitude. And we'll spend more time on this next week, but that's what parents should be training their children to do. Next week will be a whole sermon on parents to children, but now just to begin, that's what parents ought to be teaching their children. Otherwise, they're setting them up for failure because you're saying half obedience is okay. Partial obedience is acceptable. And it doesn't mean they might not fail and struggle, just like we can in our sanctification. But the target, what is the target that we're aiming for? The target that we're aiming for is what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. Anything else besides that is off the target and not what God requires. But also, we know that all of us, no matter our age, someone could be 40 years old and they are still commanded to honor their father and mother. They could be 50 and their parents maybe are still living. They're still commanded to honor their father and mother. This commandment doesn't go away once you turn 30 or 25 or 45. It doesn't stop. It doesn't cease. Because you are still the child to a parent. You might be an old child to them, but they're still your parents and you're still their child. This is why parents will still call their older children, "That's my baby." Why? Because they still have that relationship with them. They still are their children and they still are their parents. One of the greatest gifts that I have in this life, outside of knowing God in Christ and being able to serve an under-shepherd of the church, and I'm not putting these in order necessarily because knowing God is the number one, of course, being saved, but is having a great relationship with my own parents. I count that a real privilege that I have a great relationship with my parents. Love going over their house, love spending time with them. Love talking to my mom about theology stuff. It's great. She loves it. I love it. It's just fantastic. It's a great blessing. I count it a real privilege that my parents are saved and I get the ability, even as a child outside their home, to honor them because they will always be my parents to the day I die. And so I count it a great privilege that I get to obey this commandment to honor my father and my mother. And so no matter what age you are, it doesn't have the same level, because we know that once you get a certain age, when you're not in their home and under their direct authority, there's not the same, you have to do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, with a good attitude. It changes a little bit. Now it changes from immediate obedience to whatever they tell you, as long as it's lawful, to receiving their counsel, if it's good, or listening to their advice, if it's good. But you don't have the same relationship to them as you would as a young child. But there still is to be that honor and that respect and that dignity given even to unconverted parents, because they still are your parents. Even if your parents are unconverted, they are still to be treated with honor and with respect. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're saved. It just says honor your father and mother. If you're blessed to have saved parents, praise God for that. But if you don't have saved parents, you are still to honor them, because they are your father and mother, whether they're saved or not. And so what that looks like, if they're unconverted, the greatest way you can honor your parents is praying that God would save them. How often do you pray for your unconverted parents to be saved? That's a great way to honor your unconverted parents, praying that God would save them and rescue them. Because don't you believe that's the best thing God could do for them, is save them? And so by praying for them is a great way to honor your father and your mother. And if they are saved, the greatest way you can honor them, and this goes for young children as well and older children, is by praying for their sanctification, praying that God would grow them in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Kids who are still in the home, young people are still in the home, do you pray for your parents' sanctification? Do you pray that God would grow them in grace? Do you pray for their personal sanctification? Great way to pray and honor your father and your mother. And so they are to be treated, whether converted or not, with dignity and respect, and we are to view them in that way. They should be treated not in a rude or harsh way, but to entreat them in love, especially if they are lost, and treating them to Christ. It doesn't always happen this way, because some parents, especially if they're lost parents, don't want to have a relationship with their saved children. But insofar as it depends on you, you're to live at peace with all men. Sometimes you can't affect what they do, but insofar as it depends on you, you're to live at peace with all men. You should not be the one that's causing the tension. If it's because of the truth and gospel truth, well, there's nothing you can do about that. But you should do, insofar as it depends on you, you should seek to live at peace with even your unconverted parents. And then if you have converted parents, seeking to respect them and hear from their counsel, especially if they are godly parents, is one of the best ways that godly parents can be honored is by wanting their counsel on something. By wanting their counsel, wanting to hear, what do my parents have to say about this? I know if you have unconverted parents, it's harder. But especially if you have converted parents that do want to please God and do want to honor Christ, going to them and say, what do you think about this? Or what are your thoughts about this? Especially big decisions. Because there's no one in this world, especially converted parents, that love you more than they do. There's no one who loves you more than they do. There's no one who wants better for you and wants your blessing and your growth and your help than your own parents. Can they sin? Yes. Can they say things that are not good? Yes. I'm not saying that they're perfect. But I am saying their general tenor, especially if they are in Christ, is they want your best. And therefore, we ought to honor them in that way. We should desire their counsel, advice, admonitions for our life, even if we're no longer under their roof. And even unbelieving parents, because of common grace, can give wise counsel. So we believe that ungodly parents can say some things that are actually true because of common grace. And we should honor them in that way. Our parents should be honored because we desire to be with them, talk to them, and even when appropriate, ask them what they think on a matter. And so whether young or old, we are to honor our God-given parents in the same way that we would want to be honored when we are older. That's a good way to think about it. If you were older and your kids were grown, how would you want them to honor you? How would you want them to treat you? How would you want them to deal with you? That is a good way to think, this is how I should treat my parents. Because does not the golden rule tell us to do unto others as we would want them to do unto us? Isn't this what it means to love your neighbor as yourself? The same way you would want to be loved, do that to your neighbor? And so we should think, how would I want to be respected? Would I want to be yelled at or not treated as if I don't exist or never talk to or never reach out to? Or would you want to be treated with respect and dignity and honor? And so think, how you would want to be treated should be the way we should honor our own parents when they are aged. We see this demonstrated in the life of Joseph, even in his later life, Joseph in the Old Testament, where he brings his aged father, his children that he had in Egypt, because he wants his father to see his grandchildren. And so he makes sure that his father sees his children. It says this in Genesis 48, 9 through 11. Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel, which is Jacob, his father, were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I have not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." And so we see there the glory of him honoring his parents, bringing his children. He wanted his father to see his children. And one key way in our generation that we can honor our father and mother, I preached a sermon really connected with this verse from 1 Timothy 5, but by caring for our aged parents. Caring for our aged parents. Honoring them when they're old and they're not able to care for themselves like they could. The Word of God says that we are honor widows who are really widows. But then it goes on to say, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. And so one key way we honor our father and mother is by caring for them in their older age. Is by not allowing them to be taken off to somewhere where they're not going to get good care, but caring for them, caring for our aged parents. And so we are to honor them as long as our parents are living, and even past that, because we're to honor their memory. We are to honor our father and our mother, because it is the first commandment with promise. Isn't it so interesting? Not having any other gods before the true God, no promise. Not making images of the true God and not worshiping him falsely, no promise, directly. Third commandment, not taking God's name in vain, no promise directly. Fourth commandment, remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, no direct promise. The fifth commandment, direct promise, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That shows the significance of it. It's the first commandment in the second table of the law, our relationship to our neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourself. And our first and foremost neighbor when we're born in this world is our parents. They're our first neighbor, and this is how God wants us to love and to honor them. But now we'll see my second point, blessing from God. Honoring your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Or as it quotes in Ephesians 6, verse 1, it has other stuff, but quotes it, says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might go well with you, and that you might live long on the earth. And so we are to honor our father and mother, because that's in doing that, in Christ, it genuinely pleases God, and it shows forth a transformed heart. Because by nature, without Christ, our nature and attitude ordinarily is to buck against authority. It's to say, who made this person to rule over me? That's our genuine, our natural attitude that we have to authority. Who is this person telling me what to do? But when we have a transformed heart, we now desire, by God's grace, to obey, honor, and submit to God-given authority in its proper context. And so this shows forth a transformed heart. Someone who genuinely is honoring father and mother in a genuinely true way is showing forth that their heart has been transformed by the gospel. But then we see here that your days may be long, listen to the text directly, upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. I think there can be problematic ways to say that this is a promise that everyone who obeys it will live 90 to 100 years. I think there's problems with that interpretation, just practically. I think it's better understood. Remember, it's the land. What was the land a picture of? What was the promised land a foreshadow of? The new heavens and the new earth. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then it's applied in the New Testament to the earth. Because why? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We know Jesus isn't talking about this earth presently. He's talking about the renewed earth at the last day when we enter in the new heavens and new earth. That's the earth he has in mind. And so I think it's better to understand that this is a promise adapted in the New Testament, because the promise changes. You realize that? Because we no longer have a promised land in Israel. But now we have a new earth we're looking forward to. And so the promise is when a child obeys their father and mother, honors their father and mother, it's a promise that they are going to enter the celestial city. They are going to enter the new heavens and new earth. Not because they honored their father and mother, but that was a fruit, that was the evidence that they had genuine saving faith. And so their days will be long upon the land. Why? Because they'll have everlasting life. Everlasting life in the land, in the promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. I think the hymn is called "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." And we sing in that song that we're going to Canaan. But the hymn writer was not saying we're going to go to the little piece of land in the Middle East. He was using Canaan as a foreshadowing of the new Jerusalem, the new earth, where righteousness will dwell. And so when children are obeying their father and mother from the hearts, out of love for Jesus Christ, they can know that God has promised that your days will be long upon the land. That you will receive the blessing of not mere temporal life, but everlasting life that will go on and on and on forever and forever. What I'm not saying, though, is obviously there are temporal benefits to children obeying their parents, of course. There are temporal blessings of it going well for them. I'm not denying that. Of course, when children obey their parents, it ordinarily will go better for them in life. But I think the promise is more connected to the life to come, is more connected to the promised land that we will enter when Christ returns. And so it's showing forth that glorious promise that even though we live here in this life, honoring father and mother gives us promise for the life to come. Think about that. Something so simple as doing what your parents want, when they want you to do it, with a good attitude, in light of trusting in Jesus Christ, is showing forth that you will enter the new heavens and new earth. It's showing forth that your heart's been transformed, and this is not your homeland, that you're looking for a homeland whose city, whose builder and maker is God. That simple thing that seems so mundane of just doing what my parents tell me to do, when they tell me, with a respectful attitude, or honoring them in their older age, that shows forth that my heart has been transformed. Yes, people can honor their father and mother externally who are not converted, but that's why I keep saying by trusting in Christ. It's all in light of being in Christ that we want to honor our father and our mother. That's the great desire to do, because that is our God-given authority. Our first God-given authority is our parents, our father and our mother. And so how do we apply a text like this? Well, those who are without Christ can never truly honor their parents like I've been talking about in a way that pleases God. And so we first and foremost, everyone to truly honor their parents must need Christ, because they must know God as their heavenly father before they're going to honor their earthly father truly. They must first know that God is their great Savior and Redeemer in Christ before they want to honor the authority that he's put in their life. And so it first starts by being in Christ. But if you're a child in the home, and I'll just say anyone who is still under the roof of their parents, it'd be nice if the Gillespie children were here, but maybe they'll listen to the recording. But if you're under the roof of your parents, it is God's will for you to obey your parents when they tell you, by doing what they tell you with a good attitude. And if not, you're sinning. If not, you're sinning. That's God's will for you. That you would do what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. And you have to ask yourself your question, is that what your desire is? Is it your desire to buck and complain against your parents? Or give them all types of excuses? Or is it your desire to do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, with a good attitude? Because by doing that, if you're in Christ, God is well pleased. That's what the text says in Colossians 3. God is pleased with that. You actually know God's smile when you do that. You know God's blessing, and it's right. It's right. And then older ones who have parents, maybe you're outside the home and you have your own home or different things. You are still to honor and respect your parents and treat them in a dignified way. It'll always be your job, as your parents are still in this side of the life to come, and even after, in different ways, honoring their memory, to honor and respect them. To treat them the way you would want to be treated. Treat them the way you would want others to treat you. And then by doing this, what a wonderful blessing, we give evidence that we will enter the new earth where righteousness dwells. When we do this in Christ, we will enter and we will live long upon the earth. We will live there forever and forever. And so may God cause us, in a day and age where parents are dishonored, older children disrespect their older parents, children at home disrespect their parents. What a glorious thing when children obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, and older children honor their father and mother all the days of their life. What a blessing that shows forth, because the gospel of Christ transforms us from being rebellious to being submissive, from being lawless to being obedient, so that we might keep his commandments all the days of our life. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your truth. And we pray that in light of trusting in Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again to save us from our sin, that we would honor our father and our mother. In Jesus' name, amen.